Hello and welcome to episode 2 of our podcast, No Point.
Podcast number 2!
Why are you talking in your French's Motown voice?
Because it's podcast number 2!
That means one podcast left until we talk about your birth.
One more until the birth it comes out. If you didn't see podcast 1, you're confused. But my birth comes up in podcast 3, so stay tuned.
And this one's about R. Kelly, right?
This one is about R. Kelly, you're right. We have nowhere to go past that. We've only planned out for 3 episodes. The 4th is going to be our best episode. You just wait.
All right, so if you do watch our first episode, listen to our first episode. You can't watch it.
Really?
Well, no, they can't watch her. Maybe the vocal waves.
Yeah, please watch.
But
that.
A good friend of ours that runs podcast told us, he was like giving us notes about our first episode, and he goes, "You know what you didn't do?
What didn't we do?
We didn't like introduce ourselves. Like we kind of just jumped into it. Like people like that don't
we
watch.
Assume they
like
know
we
us.
Assume they knew us, but like imagine somebody just found us accidentally and was like." What the heck is going on with these
You're right,
boys?
We should tell them who we are.
All right, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm R. Kelly, and you're watching Disney Channel.
You said this podcast was about R. Kelly. I'm just trying to bring it in. Hello.
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 No, it's mine. You can't interrupt. I am Francis.
Hello, Francis.
Hi.
Hi, Francis.
This is my second meeting.
That's a joke only some of you will get.
And if you do get it, there is help out there.
We don't have the number, but there is a number.
The best. But I'm Francis. I'm an aspiring beatboxer. I'm on TikTok. And basically, this entire podcast is just the life of me and my little brother, JP.
I'm the little brother, JP, in case you didn't know.
What does JP stand for?
It's John Paul.
Really?
Yeah, you know that.
Do I?
Yeah. But most people just call me Chippy because JP sounds like Chippy. I know they didn't want to ask about it. But the premise of our show, and apparently this didn't come across, but the premise of our show is No Point's the name. And why is No Point is because there's no point to our show.
No, absolutely nothing. We've already been talking about R. Kelly 3 times in this podcast.
R. Kelly's like an episode.
I told you. I told you he was going to come out. And last podcast was all about 3 wishes and our stories. So we tell little stories about, like, you know, us, because, you know, we're 2 boys. So we've got ourselves in some trouble.
Until we run out of stories, and then the podcast is going to stop no warning.
Yeah, when we run out of stories, you'll know, because we'll stop the podcast immediately, and also the stories will become, today I walked. As soon as we say today, that's when you know the podcast is over.
And we're gonna do, like, debate, like, I think we debated what we would use with our 3 wishes last time. Like, we're going to do all sorts of fun stuff. So if you want to listen and you want to stay with us, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, or you follow on Spotify, you subscribe on Apple Music, and maybe leave a 5-star review, or if you hate our podcast, leave a 1-star review.
So buckle up, because this is going to be one heck of a ride.
Let's jump right into our story. So if you follow Broski Studios on TikTok, you know Francis bought longboards.
I did. I bought 3 longboards. Not just one. I bought 3.
Now, the funny part of this is he fell off the longboard. We'll go into that story later. But our grandmother and mother said, whatever you do, you're not allowed to ride longboards anymore.
Nope.
And longboards are non-returnable.
Non-returnable. Longboards have the weirdest shopping. I don't know if it's like this in other places, but in Rhode Island, we have no longboard stores. We only have the internet. And every single one of these longboard companies are, like, self-made. And they just basically have a website. And you can't really return them. So I have 3 longboards. And one of them tried to kill me.
So basically, we were talking about together, like, we were talking about which of us, which me or Francis, were the most adventurous as a child and as an adult hill in adulthood. And Francis was like, people probably assume it's him. Do you agree? That was what you
No. My premises was people assume it's you.
People assume it's me, but it's
you. Yeah, but it's me. Yeah, because people look at me and I'm scared of everything. Like, I had nightmares from Care Bears. Like, I am a terrified little boy. That is a true story, and that's for episode 4. We figured it out!
Episode 4 is Nightmares of Care Bears.
I had nightmares from literally anything. I was terrified of the world, and I still am. I am a frail 135 tops.
So people assume you're the most adventurous, but it's not you.
Did you listen to the podcast?
Well, you just contradicted yourself.
I said people assume it's you.
Well, yes, but then you said you got nightmares at Care Bears, so you can't follow that up by saying
I'm not adventurous.
You're the most adventurous.
I'm not.
So
at
I
least
was
I
right.
Didn't think.
So you think?
What did you say?
That people think you're the most adventurous.
No, people think you're the most adventurous.
But it's me.
But it's me.
You get nightmares.
I
tired
at longboarding.
But so you are the most longboarding made you the most adventurous.
No. Yes. Yes.
Getting on a longboard and falling on a longboard on your first trip out.
Is adventurous a synonym for stupid?
No.
Oh,
adventurous is like
I take back every point I made.
Most willing to do dangerous things.
Okay, sure. Then I guess you win this round.
Well, it's weird that you brought up Care Bears as your argument.
Yeah, can you delete that? Or does that stay in?
Well, that stays in. It's the precursor for episode 4.
Oh, you're right. All right,
continue
your thought.
We gotta, for the people that don't know, I know we beated this story to death already, but we have to just, it's a precursor, right? So basically, would you like to tell the story of your longboarding accident?
I think I deserve to tell the story of my longboard accident.
I don't know, you might embellish it a little bit.
All right. So what was happening was I was fighting 50 ninjas. I'm kidding. So what happened was basically, JP does not own a car.
You can't just say that. I own a car, but I share it with my sister. And when my sister's away in Philadelphia where she goes to college, it's completely my car. But she's home for the summer and she has a job and I have a job. Francis is currently unemployed because he's laid off from work because of Corona. So he is getting unemployment. But me and Kat have to go to work, right? And I borrowed his car to take to work.
So basically, JP doesn't have a car. And you can send him money and buy him a car.
My Venmo's Chippy Bree. It's a joke, but it's not a joke.
You would think it's a joke. But anyway, so JP doesn't have a car. Moral of the story. So JP asked, Francis, may I please borrow your car? And I am a good older brother. I am an excellent old. I am the best. I'm an older brother. So I said, JP, of course you can borrow the car. You enjoy. You have to go to work. I do not.
He made me pay for gas.
Well, that's reasonable. You literally took the car. You had to pay for gas. That's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is I let JP borrow the car. So JP goes and he takes the car. Now, I have bought longboards. I got a longboard the day before this occurrence happened. And me and JP went out longboarding and I was like, cool. Everything's cool. Me and JP went down the street, and we went up to Garden City, which is about 5 minutes away from our house, and we go to Garden City, and there's this one hill, and JP goes, hey, Francis, make sure you don't go down this hill, because you're gonna die.
It is a steep hill with a drastic turn.
Yeah, so JP's a baby, and he told me, don't go down this hill. That's a precursor from the day before, when I got my longboard. So anyway,
I warned him. I said, whatever you do.
He did warn me. But anyway, I give JP the car and I say, but leave the longboard. Leave the longboard, JP, because I, like most Americans, have a coffee addiction. It's really bad. I wish I could get treatment, but unfortunately, when I show up to those AAA meetings, they don't let me in because apparently mine's not as severe. But anyway, so basically, I have a coffee addiction, so I leave the longboard, and I will go to Starbucks on my longboard. JP takes the car in the morning. He goes out. Boom. I wake up at a reasonable 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Like
reasonable.
Like any unemployed.
I've been at work since 8.
Like any unemployed teenager, I wake up at 1 in the afternoon. I say coffee time. I'm about to leave the house, and my grandmother stops me, and she goes, Francis, where are you going? And I go, I'm going to go longboard to get coffee. And she goes, Francis, you're going alone? And I said, well, there's no one else here. And she goes, well, I don't think you should longboard alone in case anything happens. And I said, nothing will ever happen.
Do you regret saying that in like hindsight?
A little bit hindsight, I regret. I think this is why it all happened. I said, nothing will happen. JP couldn't help me anyway, even if he was there. Regret saying that as well. I went there yesterday on the longboard. I know the track. I'm good. Nothing will happen. I'm old. I have a phone. It's all okay. She said, I really don't want you doing it. I said, look, it's going to be great. I need coffee. So I go outside. I start longboarding. Now I am still a day longboarding. And I have severe social anxiety.
You really keep dragging this on as if you're trying to make excuses for the accident.
I need you guys to know.
Like, you're like, I need everything up forward. I was a novice. I was warned, but yeah. I was a novice. You keep throwing that
in. I had dreams. Anyway.
I'm addicted to coffee. The coffee affected my decision making.
I haven't coffee. Anyway, I'm going. I'm longboarding. Everything's good. I go up the hill, a little bit tired, do great, go into coffee. Now, I walk into Starbucks. Every single girl, I have never had this in my life. Look, I'm on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a solid 5.
That's a bit bold.
That's a bit bold. You're right. I'm a solid 3. But I you know what? I'm okay. But I went into Starbucks this day holding my longboard, and every single Starbucks girl goes, You longboard? Oh my gosh, I didn't know you longboarded.
So this is like, are you telling her?
No, this is important. This is important. Longboarding gets girls. You may die, but it gets girls. So I've never got this kind of attention. So I was like, yeah. And I ordered my drink, and I'm sitting at the other end, and this girl in Starbucks goes, I didn't know you longboarded. Like, how long have you been longboarding? And I've been longboarding for about a day.
Less than 24 hours.
But you can't tell her that.
Oh, so absolutely not.
No.
You tell the viewers you're a novice. You don't tell Starbucks you're a novice.
I can tell you guys I'm a novice, but that woman, I can't be like, yeah, I picked it up about 3 hours ago, still wondering how we'll go.
I don't really know how to turn yet, but once I figure that out, I'll be going.
About 6 months. Now, the reason I said 6 months was I didn't want it to be like, you know, I didn't want her to think I'm an expert, so I didn't want to say a year, right? A year means you're an expert, and she could ask me to do something, and I can't do it. I couldn't say 24 hours, because that sounds like I bought this or rented it yesterday. So I went with six months.
Is respectable.
And again, I wasn't that I'm a liar, because I was going to hold on to I've been doing a longboard for 6 months until it's been 6 months.
Oh, like, then it jumps to a year,
yeah,
right?
Then it jumps to a year. But I wasn't gonna lie. Like, it wasn't gonna be the next day and I'd be like, I've been doing it for a year. Like, I was going to keep it up with the 6 months. So I say, 6 months. She's like, that is so cool. I said, yeah. So now I leave Starbucks. And
now, hold on. This is a precursor. So I'm at work, right? Yeah. And I get a FaceTime call from Francis.
I get a FaceTime call.
No, I deserve to tell this part.
Let me get there. So I get out of Starbucks, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't obviously drink and longboard, right? It's impossible. I can't.
That's the equivalent to drinking and driving.
No. I can't ride a longboard yet. You expect me to drink while doing a longboard? You're out of your mind. So I just sit on the little curb, and I go, you know what? I'm going to call JP. Now continue.
All right. So I get a FaceTime at work, right? Luckily, so I'm in, like,
if
working.
You lie, I'm calling you out.
What do you mean? I'm working, and Francis is FaceTiming me, and I go, what are you doing? And he's like, hey, man. And I go, hey, Francis. And he goes, I just longboarded to Starbucks. And I was like, good for
so
you,
proud.
Francis.
So
and proud. He goes, boy, let me tell you about the girls in Starbucks.
It was very important that he knew.
He goes, the longboard is a magnet. And I was like, really, buddy? He was like, yeah, they were all asking me about the longboard. And I was like, all right. And he goes, I just wanted to call you. And I was like, why? And he was like, because I'm longboarded. I was like, yep. And he goes, all right, bye, I gotta go home now. And I was like, okay, Francis. And I go, whatever you do, this is my last thing I said to him, whatever you do, don't go down that hill. You know that hill's gonna end bad. All right, now.
I don't know why in your head I talk like a smoker. Hey, you should have seen that longboard. Like, I don't know why that's my voice. I'm down with it. I just sound like a little bit of a smoker. But anyway, yes. I FaceTimed him. He told me don't go down the hill. I just wanted him to basically know that girls hit on me in Starbucks. That was the moral of the story of the call. He didn't respect it as much.
I want the viewers to know right now, when we sat down to do this podcast, longboarding was not supposed to be the focus point. But we've been going for 11 minutes on longboarding.
This makes sense to me. So anyway, basically,
he's clearly passionate about the issue.
Very passionate. So I'm longboarding home, and I'm going down, and I'm starting to pick up speed. And basically what happened was there was this woman walking next to it. Now, this woman had to be 70 years old. Had to be 70 years old. Just walking. And I'm longboarding. And I don't know why, but for a second I was like, I was like, yeah, but I can't think this. I can't let this woman know that I don't know how to longboard. She's 70 years old.
You gotta impress the woman. Yeah, you heard. You know.
She's a woman. I'm gonna give her the same equal opportunity to hit on me. I don't care what age.
I don't know if ageist is the thing. But you
I'm not. I wasn't. So I was like, look, I can't pretend that I'm bad. So I start going right. I start going down, and then it starts picking up speed because I'm starting to go down your hill that you told me not to. The Garden City Hill. I'm starting to go down. Now, there was a brief moment where I go, okay, I can get off right here and walk my board down. But if I get off right here, the 70-year-old woman
will see that you banged
it out of the hill. The 70-year-old woman would see that I picked it up and walked down the hill. Let me rephrase this. This smoking hot 70-year-old woman. Let me rephrase this one more time. This babe would have saw me go.
Total babe.
Would have saw me walk down my longboard down this hill. So I couldn't let it do it. And I thought to myself, here's exactly what happened. You know when you have those two moments where a person is on each shoulder?
Yeah,
right?
The devil and the angel.
I had a brief moment. The angel didn't show up. The devil looks at me and he goes, you gotta go down it eventually. Now, my devil is a smoker voice. My devil sounds just like what you think I sound like. But anyway, my devil goes, you gotta go down the hill eventually. And my stupid self said, you right. And I decided, full send. So I'm just like, perfect, right? And I'm riding it. And it's starting out slow. So I'm like, I kind of got this, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm halfway. And the board starts wobbling.
It's wiggling, it's wobbling as it's picking up the speed.
It's hitting rocks. It is wobbling.
It's on X game mode.
It was wobbling. And I was terrified. And now I'm looking around because I'm like, I'm going to crash, right? There's grass right next to me on the thing. I'm down a main road. If I fall and like a car runs up, I'm dead. So I'm looking at grass. I'm looking at grass, right? I'm like, if I jump off my board, I'm going to look like a total loser. But I'll jump off that board. And then here comes that devil right back on my shoulder. And he goes, grass
is for the weak.
He goes, oh, you can buckle up and ride it out. And I said, you're darn right I could. Thinking confidence was the answer. The only problem with the wobbling board was my lack of confidence. So I said, let's buckle up. That babe is watching. So I buckle up and I'm going down, and I must have lasted maybe 2 more seconds before the board just lost it. And it lost it and my front foot, because if you ride a skateboard, you have 1 foot in the front, 1 foot in the back. My front foot stayed on the board on the hill. My back foot took so much momentum that it swung in front of me and basically threw me off the board. Now, when you're falling off a board, you have one reaction, right? Hand down, man down, right? You put your hands down in front of you. I put my hands down on the cement, and I just slid. For maybe...
I want you to know real quick, though, you got a lot of hate on your Broski Studios video, and people were like, I broke my collarboard on a board, I broke my ankle, and this kid's complaining about road rash.
I have broken my... I want this to start with, I have broken my arm, I have broken my foot, I have broken my thumb, I have broken bones, right? But anyway, that's going to be important.
That was just it.
That's going to be important for a second. I have broken bones, right? I've done it. I've experienced that pain. I start sliding for a good 9 feet on my hands, just sliding. And at one point, probably about 6 feet in, it started hurting so bad on my hands that I pulled my hands back and I rolled on my side. So then my side scraped for about the last 3 feet.
I hope you're really enjoying this, like listening to this on a car ride in to work or something.
This is... Anyway, so I slid, and then I'm done. Now, you might think the first reaction to somebody that has just had this thing is to feel pain, right? That's what you would think, right?
Or call for help.
Not me. I know that babe's walking down. So I get right back up immediately because I have severe social anxiety. So I don't want anybody to see that I fell. I'm still on the lie that I want everybody to think I'm a professional longboarder. I want everybody to think, so I can't fall. I can't look that bad. So I get up, right? And I'm like, ooh, you know what? But it also hit my ankle.
So I couldn't walk. Like, I could not walk. I was limping.
You're really milking this.
It happened.
All right, long story short, I'm going to wrap this up because we have a segment. Well, we've been going for 16 minutes about longboarding.
It might be 30. Let me finish. I'm this in deep. They want to hear it. If they don't, they can leave and listen to R. Kelly the second half. Anyway, so now I get up. I'm a little bit scared. I put my hands on my side because they hurt. And I go, oh my gosh, I'm in so much pain. And then I was like, okay, but I can do it. I can walk home. And then I look down at my shirt and it's full of blood. And then I look at my hands for a second and they're so bloody. And I'm scared of blood. So I'm like so
scared. Petrified.
I'm petrified of blood. Like, I can't do needles. I can't do blood. So I'm petrified. And I'm walking. I can't even. And I was like, I'll use my phone, but I can't move my hands because they hurt so bad. And there's blood everywhere that I can't. And again, the babe is walking behind me, so I have to keep up a faster pace. So I am walking.
She turns back. Did I get a last look at you?
You're on the ground, limping. She probably doesn't know I'm alive. But I am limping. I am limping. And then all of a sudden, JP walks, turns.
I have to take this, right? So I just got off of work, and I'm driving home. And to drive home, I got to go up a main road, and, like, Francis would be to my left, right? And I'm driving home. And as I'm at a stop line, I look and I see Francis holding a longboard. And I go, oh my gosh, he's holding a longboard. He's such a wimp, he couldn't even longboard home. And I go,
what I feared the 7-year-old woman would think.
So I pull right up to him, and I wish I got this on TikTok, and I've said this on the live stream. I roll down the window and I go, your Uber's here. And he goes,
same voice. And he goes, to impersonate me.
And he goes, oh, thank God. God! And I look at him, and he's in a white shirt, and the white shirt is covered in blood. And basically, he's basically in tears, and he goes, just go home. And I go, why? And he goes, don't tell grandma. And I know that I would have to go home and walk in the front door and see our grandmother. But the moral of the story is...
Moral of the story is, I'm on my way to recovery. Longboarding almost killed me. And also, I can never go back in that Starbucks. Because if they ever found out that I was longboarding for 12 hours and told them 6 months, I would die.
But, going back to the premise of this podcast we planned before fans went on longboarding for 19 minutes. I hope you know, like, so many of the fans have already heard this story so many times.
They needed it that full force.
All right. So, back to if Francis or me are more adventurous. And yes, basically, we were thinking about this.
That was
all present in that question. And to answer that question, we have to talk about our family trip to SeaWorld. It was a family vacation 3 years ago now?
Yeah.
3 years ago, right?
3 years. Oh, my gosh. Time flies.
So, the family... we're a part of an organization that has a conference every year in a different place. And this year it happened to be at San Diego. So we went a few days early and we went to SeaWorld before.
You have to.
You have to go to
SeaWorld.
So we went as a family.
So we thought.
First of all, SeaWorld has a wonderful all-you-could-eat meal plan, and we're
yes,
not...
Yes, their meal plan is bomb!
We're not sponsored by SeaWorld, but it's like three meals a day.
I ate so much. I paid for that meal plan because I loved it.
Yeah, my mom goes, you can't bet that meal plan. And Francis is like, three meals? Yeah!
It's true.
So, Francis is petrified of roller coasters.
So scared of roller coasters.
Stemming from a trip to Canobie Lake Park in New Hampshire.
Yep.
Where Francis went on, it's a ride called the Cannonball.
Yeah, first of all, the name alone should tell you that I wasn't
going
to like it.
Which is an old wooden ride that he went on with our sister, and basically the entire time he prayed, and he was like, Hail Mary, full of grace, please shut this ride off. Like, and
yes,
they didn't.
I did, and the woman behind me said, excuse me, could you please shut up? And I said, I hope the roller coaster gods take you. On the middle of the ride, I've never been so ashamed of something I said, than I'm praying, begging this ride to stop because I am in fear that I'm going to die. And she goes, could you shut up? You're ruining the ride. And I go, I hope the roller coaster gods take you.
So Francis was 11 when he said that, just so you can't hold that against him. But because I was, I don't know, 7 at that time. So I never had went on a roller coaster, but me and Francis are very similar. So basically, we things like Francis likes, I like. Things Francis likes to do, I like to do. Things Francis likes to eat, I like to eat.
He has no personality besides me, right?
That's not what we're saying.
Are we saying that?
So when it came to roller coasters, the rule in our family was Francis didn't like roller coasters, so I wouldn't like roller coasters. So JP, no roller coaster.
Exactly. We have the same rule about allergic. If I'm allergic to something, JP's allergic to something. If our mother's allergic to something, we're allergic to something.
For example, I've never had shrimp, but if anybody asks, I'm allergic.
I've never had pineapple, but if anybody asks, I'm allergic. So, we don't know.
So, Francis apparently was feeling quite adventurous on our family trip to
SeaWorld. Incorrect. You were feeling
well, quite I was. I had this, like, FOMO. Like, I was fear of missing out of what roller coasters had to bring to us. Maybe it was, like, the orca whales or the dolphin exhibit. They were riding dolphins. I can ride a roller coaster.
Okay, yes. So, we went to every single exhibit, right? Every single, like, show. Live like, show. The dolphin show, the whale show, the sea lion shows. We went to all those shows. JP was a little bit bored. He loved the shows, but there's a lot of rides at SeaWorld. And he said, we didn't ride one single ride. And he said, no one will go on
the park is about to close. Yeah. It is closing time of SeaWorld Park.
And he goes, none of you will go on a ride with me. None of you. And everyone's like, well, yeah, we don't want to go on the ride. And he goes, you know what? I miss out on so much just because you guys are scared of rides. And my mom said, no, JP, you're also scared of rides. And he said, no, I'm not. Francis is scared of rides. And you assume I'm scared of rides. And we all said, yeah, that checks out. That checks out. That
so
makes complete sense.
I don't know what happened, so but Francis was like, I'll go with you.
So I felt bad because I was like, you know what? JP did never get to go on a ride because I am scared of rides. And I said, I'm not going to let him go through that. So you know what? I'm going to buckle up and I'm going to go on this ride that I know I'm going to be terrified of. And I'm ready to basically tell the guy behind me that I hope the roller coaster gods take.
Now, I wish I knew what the name of this ride was. And maybe some SeaWorld enthusiasts might know. It was green and it had purple suits. It's a bug.
No, it's the thing. It's the thing in
Mantis.
Nemo.
The Mantis. It was the Mantis, right? And there's no sides to this roller coaster. It's just seats and you strap in, right?
And it's just
that
speed.
Needs to be known. It's speed, tricks. No sides. No sides is a very important detail, right? You get on the ride, and the first thing they do is they have cubbies. And they're like, put your phone, your wallet, your hat, put everything in the cubby.
The speed will blow it all away.
I put all my stuff in the cubby. Francis, did you?
I did not.
So we go through the ride, right? We get off the ride. I enjoyed the ride. I really did. I think roller coasters were for me.
I absolutely hated the ride. just because
Francis
I hate
walking shaking.
Now do you ever do something that you know you're afraid of, and then after you're just like, I'm the coolest kid ever, right? So it's like that. I am terrified, but I'm like, yeah, I did this.
But it reassured you are afraid.
It reassured that I am definitely afraid of roller coasters.
We were the last ride of the night.
Yeah.
So basically, we left the ride, and security was like, you gotta leave the park.
And I said, okay. So I go, I say, it's time to text mom that we're done with the ride.
Because they went to another exhibit while we were at the ride.
So I do what every other person does when they go to check for their phone. They reach their hand in the pocket. The right pocket usually is where my phone is. So I go in my right pocket. Nothing. So I do what every other person does when it's not in their right pocket. I go to my left pocket. Nothing. I lost my phone. And it was...
the phone flew off the Mantis.
But now, I don't...
A new iPhone 10. Yeah. It was like the iPhone X first year.
I got it like a week before this whole thing because I wanted to take awesome pictures. Now, I didn't know at the time it was on the roller coaster. I just... Because I haven't used my phone...
He thought he got pickpocketed.
I thought, yes, because I've been pickpocketed before.
Podcast 5.
Podcast 5. I've been pickpocketed before. Fun story. But anyway, going back. So I don't know that it's on the ride, right? So I'm just like, oh my gosh, I've lost my wallet. I mean, I've lost my phone. Like, everything is bad. I can't believe I lost my phone. I'm here for another week in San Diego. I have a girlfriend and I have no phone. Like I'm in a week in San Diego in another state for another week with no phone.
So I'm freaking out.
He's flipping out, and security's like, "You gotta exit the park right now."
And I go, no, I have my phone.
And he didn't want to tell our mom, like the fact he couldn't tell her.
I couldn't look her dead in the eye and say my phone's gone. So I literally go, I go, I need help. So I go back to the ride. I'm like, "Did you guys find a phone?" They check all their seats, but obviously there's no.
And the guy laughs. He goes, "You lost the phone on the mantle, man."
Yeah. I go. I think I lost the phone. And he goes, "On what ride?" I go, "The Mantis." He goes.
The man?
He goes, "The one with no doors?" I go, "That'd be the one, sir." And he'd be like,
"You'll never find that phone."
He goes, "We lose about 100 of those on the Mantis." And I was like, "Well, maybe..."
And it's all water. It's SeaWorld, so it's all water under it.
Yeah, so I'm going all the way around the park. I'm literally doing laps around the park. Laps around the park, hoping that I find my phone. To no avail, I find my phone. So I fill out a report that I lost my phone, what the phone is.
Now,
and they said they'll call me if they ever find it. But chances are they'll never find
it. Where this leads to... is we luckily, for the conference we were at, it was for a nonprofit organization we volunteer with, and the next day we met up with all our friends from the conference. Some of my close friends from high school were there, but they met us after the family. Friends from all over states that we meet year after year. But then the next day, the big dinner for the welcome night happened to be at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
When it closed. Like, SeaWorld was closed.
SeaWorld was closed, but we were still in the park.
But the next day.
Yeah, the catch was... So I'm like, oh my gosh.
We were only sectioned in the penguin exhibit.
Yeah, and I didn't go to the penguin exhibit.
Francis had this master plan.
I knew that my phone was not in the penguin exhibit.
But rather the mansion.
Or somewhere near it. So I was like, I'm going to find my phone. I was like, here's the...
There was a huge dinner gala with like dancing, a huge tent, security blocking all the doors. And the one rule is you can't get to any of the rides.
But none of that mattered to me because I was going to find my phone. I needed to find my phone. I knew, it was like one of those movies where like basically the cop loses his badge, and now he has to do everything himself. And that's what I was doing.
More like Night at the Museum, and you're like, I got this.
So I was like, I'm gonna find this phone. I'm gonna 100% find this phone. So I've devised a plan where basically we're going to actually sneak out of this gala and area, and we're gonna go where basically the security guard told us we're not allowed to. I'm gonna take my friend's iPhone, flashlight, and I'm gonna find my phone and track it down.
Top the fence of the Mantis.
Walk my same path, do everything.
So Francis and me, he picks me to go with him.
Obviously. And, who else was I picking?
And we go to try to exit the tent. The security guard is guarding the tent. And he's like, "Where are you guys going?" Because, like, you can't, SeaWorld just can't let kids run out of the park. Yeah, yeah. And we go, Francis goes, "I'm just taking my little brother to the bathroom." They go, "You need an adult with you."
Yeah.
So we turn back and we go, "Well, we have two options. Our mom."
Which will never go along
happen.
With
or
never happen.
We had... a friend of ours who was at the conference, he's from a different state, and he was there, and we were like, "We'll just have him pretend to be our dad," right? So we go back to our table, and we're like, "We have this idea. We gotta go sneak off. We gotta ask to go to the bathroom, sneak off to the Mantis, hop the fence, find the thing." And he was like, "I don't feel comfortable pretending to be your dad." So another one of our friends, who also adult, sitting at our table, good friend, named Will, and Will goes, he's from Ohio, and he goes, "I'll play your dad," right? That's how Will talks.
Super excited.
"I'll play your dad."
Like,
and we go,
an oddly amount of excitement.
You know, we looked
at Will.
Like,
if we had any other option, we wouldn't.
We looked at Will, and I go, "Will, buddy, I really don't think it will work out." And Will looked with puppy dog eyes at me. Like, the saddest thing goes, "Wait, why can't I pretend to be your dad?" Now, a little tidbit about Will. Will is not fully white. Will is half white. And we are not half black. So
it would
have been very hard to explain. But Will genuinely didn't understand why he couldn't play our dad. But we love Will. But our other friend who was there, Trace, he agreed to try to play our dad.
Because he was just excited to see if we'd ever find the phone.
He was intrigued. He was like, "I want to know if they can find the phone."
He wasn't going to help us find the phone. He was just going to get us past the security guard and then watch us struggle.
I think that was the real thing. He wanted to see if we could get into SeaWorld.
Yeah. He just wanted to know
how he's not a conspiracy theorist, but when we were there the whole time, he kept pointing at animals, and he was like, "The animatronics have got real good now." He's like, "Those whales, they're fake. Those dolphins, they're fake."
But anyway, we basically lie to the SeaWorld. I hope that guy's not watching. I hope he's not a big fan.
He's a big fan.
He's a huge fan.
He's heartbroken.
He's so upset.
I didn't have to go to the bathroom.
He's so upset. So we go.
He's like, yeah, I'm just going over here. We'll be right back. And we kind of like hide through the bushes, and then we kind of like go.
We try to make it halfway to the mantis. Halfway there. Until another security guard.
Yeah,
comes.
Until another security guard goes, hey, where are you guys going? And then he's like, no. And then at that point, we figured out we'd probably never get there.
Especially we'd hop the fence. There was definitely like a left fence. Things.
Also,
it's all water.
The odds that it was like close enough that our phone can see it. It was a terribly
dark
plan.
At night.
It was very dark. We had an iPhone flashlight. But I was just so angry that I wanted to find it. I was like Nicolas Cage in that movie.
But
Taken. It's like, I will
quick
find
quick side
it.
Story about the whole SeaWorld trip. So we were in line. It was waiting to get in. And we were with our friends from high school, Brad and Sean. They're good friends. And we're standing in line and we're like, going to SeaWorld. We posted it all over Snapchat story. And every single girl and their mother slid up
people,
on our story.
I guarantee you, in this podcast have already like went somewhere.
They've
and
already
said,
signed
they've
off.
Already
they've
said,
already signed
they've
off.
Said, they said, wait, you went to SeaWorld? Because apparently.
Apparently we missed the memo.
That everybody canceled SeaWorld. Every single person and their mother canceled SeaWorld.
So every single person was like, how dare you give SeaWorld your money? How dare you go to SeaWorld? SeaWorld's the worst company ever.
Because apparently of this documentary on Netflix,
not sponsored by Netflix, but it's called Blackfish. Yeah. And you probably have watched it, but it's a documentary about the orchid whale that killed its trainer.
Yeah, and like how badly the orchid whales were treated, how bad SeaWorld is in general.
Which is awful.
We had no
but
idea.
But we enjoyed our time at SeaWorld.
We did. Without knowing these facts, SeaWorld is an amazing place.
Wonderful place.
So we go.
And they all said, you have to watch this movie.
Before you post another video about SeaWorld, you have to watch the video. So
and
we said,
see what corruption you're supporting.
And they said, watch it. So we were like, fine.
We
you know
got
what?
Back to our hotel. It was probably 3 a.m.
Yep. And we put on SeaWorld. Every single one. Now, there's four boys in a room.
Me and my friend Rob were sharing a bed. And my friend Sean and Brad were sharing a bed. And Francis was sitting on the floor.
Because I was also watching the movie with them.
And four of us fell asleep. Everybody fell asleep except our friend Sean.
And about at 4:30 a.m.,
we all wake up.
And one of the kids named Sean is yelling, "She dead! They put rocks in her!
And we go,
and we're
what?
So
we
scared.
All wake up. We go, what? And he's practically in tears and he goes, "Shamu's mother! They put rocks in her! She dead!"
And she goes, absolutely insane that he ever was like, no,
he had the audacity, like he started lecturing us like he was a better person than us. Now
lecturing
like
us
the
that,
next
like,
day you should have never anybody went. That would listen, anybody at the conference that would listen, you'd be like, can you believe that event was at SeaWorld? You know, all the awful things, like, you know, like when you get educated on something, you pretend you're the biggest expert ever.
Yeah. Basically, that's basically what he did. It was hysterical.
He got a pet. He got a stuffed walrus from SeaWorld, and he named it "She Dead."
She did.
Shamu's mom. It's a good documentary if you check it out.
Anyway, that was not the moral of the story. We just wanted to acknowledge before every single comment was, "Have you seen
how
Blackfish
awful SeaWorld
and
was?
How bad?" Yes, we actually did. Sean did. He told
Sean
us.
Did. And we will be going back next year to SeaWorld.
But anyway, now moral of the story is, I lost my phone. What happened to my phone, Francis? What happened to my phone?
Weeks.
It was literally about 4 weeks later.
Francis got a call from a block number,
and I answer it. I don't know why I answered it, because it's a block number, and I usually don't answer it, but I decided I'm going to answer it. So I go, hello. They go, hello, is this Francis? And I go, it is. Thinking that I was about to have to answer questions from a crime case that I was unaware of.
Who answers block numbers?
Yeah. So anyway, I was like, yeah, it is. And they go, hi, we're from SeaWorld. And
which is a bad blank
answer.
Now, like, hi, we're from SeaWorld. Like, that's a dope. Like, I wish I answered, okay, like, first, hi, we're from SeaWorld.
Now, there's two things that come to my head immediately. None of them are about the phone. The first thing is, they were like, hi.
They know about our plan.
They knew about our plan that we broke into SeaWorld. We went past where we were, and we were going to look for a phone. Or that they heard that our Sean Ryan has been going around and trying to shut
disgracing
SeaWorld, and they needed him to stop. And somehow they called me. But no, so I go, oh, hi. And they go, we think we found something that is belongs to you. And I go, oh, my gosh. We found your phone. Oh my gosh, you guys found my phone. And they go, you could still call it that. And I said, oh, you know, it kind of goes by me. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? And they go, well, we did our
yearly maintenance on the Mantis.
We did it, and we found something that kind of resembles your phone. And we go, I go, resembles? And they were like, yeah, we believe it's a white iPhone X. And I go, you believe?
And they go, the Mantis does go at 60 yeah. miles an hour.
They start explaining the facts about the ride.
It's about the physics.
They go, it's a 60-mile ride, and it's over water and rocks. Usually,
The terrain is very rough.
And when it goes in, it usually slides under the track.
You're lucky we even found it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, they started debating somebody that's not saying anything. They're like,
and before you have to even say anything, Blackfish was very fabricated.
Yeah. they literally go, and you're kind of lucky we found it. I'm like, what? Whoa, I'm not even debating.
They go, now, we're going to be honest. We don't know if it's worth sending it back to you. They were like, you have to pay for shipping, and it's expensive.
And they go, we don't know. But we if you want, we can send it back. And I go, absolutely send it back. Because I have Apple Care. So all it has to do is semi-resemble a phone. Like, it could be a calculator, but if it sort of looked like a phone, it would be good.
But at this time, we honestly don't know if it does resemble.
We don't know, because of the way this talking, it's like, the terrain. I like that guy's voice better.
I would like to reassure you, though, Blackfish was completely fabricated.
He has a shirt, as he's saying that. But he goes, so anyway, they said, okay, we'll send back the phone. So it takes about another 2 weeks until I get a shipment. And I open it up, and it is just this crushed chunk piece of glass with, like, a slim iPhone logo. I wish I had a picture that I could, like, upload with it. But I have pictures of it. And it's, like, this slim piece of, like, glass, like, completely crushed in two, like, smashed. It barely, like, the guy, I now understand why he described. It was really rough terrain. I wish I could call him back.
I don't know if you know much about physics, but the Mantis ride goes at 60 miles an hour and has 2.4 turns.
And again, Blackfish was completely fabricated. Like, that's how it's ending every single time. But I was like, I'll bring it into Apple. So I go to Apple, and I bring it in, and they look at my phone. And I go, first of all, I don't show it right away because I want them to see me.
I have an iPhone that I need fixed. Yeah.
If I showed it to them, they'd be like, actually, we're closed for the year. And I'd be like,
and then the Apple employee goes, and have you heard about SeaWorld?
It's completely fabricated. It's the same guy. But he goes,
he's the customer service for every company.
They go, okay, great. So I sit down, woman goes over, and they go, I see that you have a damaged phone. You just want a replacement. I said, yeah. And she goes, yeah, that's okay. It's like a routinely thing. You have Apple Care. Just give us the phone. We'll send it out. I show her my phone.
And she says, the Mantis, huh?
No. I show her my phone, and she goes, rough night. And I go, well, the Mantis goes at about 60 miles per hour. It's really rough terrain.
There's two turns.
And basically, she was like, yes, we can see the serial number. So they chunked off, like, a piece of the glass, and they actually got into the battery where it had, like, a serial number. They matched the serial number, and moral of the story is, I got a new phone, Blackfish was completely fabricated, and the terrain is really rough.
Okay, you made it through our second episode of our podcast.
Episode number two. They are one step closer to episode number five.
Oh, five. What is it? Three is birth story.
Four is...
Oh, no. They have to remind us.
We'll watch the video.
Four's Care Bear.
Four Care Bear nightmares.
Five's Pit Potting. All right, guys. So, congratulations. I don't know if anybody listened
to
this one.
Definitely not. We made it longer just to make sure that we weaned out the week.
We did plan on making this one shorter. Because our goal is two a week on Tuesday nights and Sunday nights. So you have it on Monday morning and Wednesday morning. So you can start your week and your hump day with our lovely life stories.
Our lovely sad life stories.
Or if you're just listening to it once it comes out.
So if you're some hero here, we're going to give you another secret message like we did on the first time.
Secret messages are going to be our thing.
Yeah, that's our thing. Should we comment on one of our videos or of it? And I really want it to be either. You get two choices.
I have two.
Wait, you say one and I'll say one.
All right, you go first. Okay. No, you go first.
And it's really rough terrain. If we could do that one, it'd be great.
And what's your second one?
And my second one was, Blackfish was completely fabricated.
I'm going with, if you guys made it this far, comment, go to, tweet us at Broski Studios Or comment on one of our TikTok videos, Broski Studios or Francismo 10, or post on our Instagram with you listening to the podcast, and we'll repost it on tag Francismo 10 or Broski Studios on all social media platforms, really. We have all of them, basically.
But we just
Blackfish was completely fabricated. Just so we know you made it this far, and we know that it's worth keep talking, and you guys were going
to
listen.
Yeah, so we just want to thank you guys again for listening to our stories. Again, we'll be here talking as long as you guys will listen. So
I'm Chippy Bree signing out.
And I'm Francis.
You signing out?
I told you. It's like a communication, so I'm not really signing out. So I'm saying goodbye, but it's not really a signature.
All right, I'm just going to end it.
And Blackfish was
completely fabricated.